Hi, everybody. I'd say we give it another minute. Okay. Hi. So for housekeeping, the next meeting will be February 20th. And then I will give it to Joe because we said we continue the discussion from the last time.
What were we? I can't remember what we were discussing last time because I had several things that I wanted to talk about.
It was either multiple vendors for one PO or prepayments covering multiple fiscal year, but I guess it was the multiple organizations to a PO.
So, I know last time we had discussed the possibility of associating multiple organizations with a PO or PO line. So we'll just take a quick look at that and make sure we've got everything basically where it needs to be. So let me share my screen real quick. And then we'll switch over to the prepayments question. All right. Excuse me. Sorry. So basically, what we've got for this is there is an interest in supporting, associating multiple organizations with a given PO. And I said originally PO line, but it was feedback is that generally you would want that with the whole PO, not just with an individual line. So doing that at the PO level. And that will ideally include support for fractional payments, ideally include support for multiple vendors. So if you have to pay invoices to do to multiple providers in the context of doing this, that could be supported. When generating invoices, ideally there will be a mechanism for drawing from, like, the default will be the named vendor, but you should be able to generate an invoice from any associated organization that's listed. And then, let's see. If you change a vendor on a PO, you should have the option of automatically assigning the previous vendor as a historical vendor if you're tracking historical vendors. And then obviously we'll need dates and effective date change the effective change date fields. We did conclude that this is that there's definitely uses for this, and some automation would be beneficial. I see, Sarah, you have your hand up.
If I could backtrack slightly, you said something about the vendor being attached to the PO and not the POL, and I think you kind of phrased it as if there was indication that it was desirable or more desirable to have it happen at the PO and not the POL line. And I think that was something I raised. And so it's not that it's more desirable. I was just mentioning, if I recall correctly, that you can only assign a vendor at the PO level and not the POL level. You
Right.
can, so it's not that it's desirable, it's that that is so far the only place we can actually do it,
Right.
which wouldn't mean that it wouldn't be desirable to be able to do it at the POL level. It's just that that doesn't seem possible.
Except this is not an assigned vendor. This is just an associated organization. So there will be references. So we have to modify the schema to do this. So the question is, are we modifying the schema at the PO level or at the POL level? We can really do it at either one because only one vendor can own a PO or POL, or the POL inherits the vendor from the PO. But it's actually stored in both in terms of the architecture. But in terms of just associating additional organizations and defining, like setting up a schema to describe the relationship between those organizations, we can really do that in either place. So my initial thought was we would do that in the POL, but based on feedback, we'll do that in the PO instead. But this has no bearing on the required vendor. This is really more additional fields that can provide additional information and additional context that will end up being reportable and will have some other will provide some visibility into other areas. But it's not like the required vendor field. So we're not talking about making the vendor field repeatable. We're talking about just associating more organizations with descriptions of why are these organizations relevant to this?
But okay, so if that is the case, then I think it actually has to be the opposite, especially given how I, that organizations are not just vendors, but more than vendors, and that they then could be different across POLs.
Which is why my original thought was let's do it at the POL level. But then, based on the conversation last time,
I guess that's why I'm bringing it up again, because I think I kind of stood corrected that I was thinking about it all too narrowly and thinking vendor, 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 and oh, but I can only do the vendor at the PO, so it has to be at the PO. But then other people raised, well, but it's not just about vendors, it's also about organizations, and organizations can also be donors and other things. And so therefore it would actually have to be at the POL level. I'm just bringing this up because I think I was the one that steered that wrong, and then when we were talking about it more in a slightly different way, because the whole thing about organizations being broader than just vendor was raised, which I never think about because we don't do it, we don't use donors in that way. So I hadn't been thinking about it that way. And but others obviously do and need that.
I mean, really, it's a catch-all field for there's another entity that needs to be associated with this order. Like it could be a previous vendor. Donors are tracked separately, so there's no real need to track the donor at this level because that's already done at the POL. But for instance, if you have to pay two separate entities, so you've got like a publisher and a content provider, or a consortium is doing the brokering, or I don't know, any number of cases where you need to associate more than one organization for other purposes. I mean, the question was asked basically, it was raised that typically when you're creating a purchase order, everything associated with that order is going to follow through. So there's not a lot of differentiation among POLs. At least that's the impression that I got. And maybe I'm wrong.
Well, so I guess thinking about this more as we're talking, right? Like, let's imagine I have something with Wiley, and we subscribe to Anthrosource, we subscribe to this online reference thing called Life Science. It's like, I forget what the thing is called, something with life and science. Anyways, it's like an online reference book type thing. And then also their Wiley database package. Okay, so we have three things. We have license for that, and we have that. At some point, we decided, oh, we're going to do the Wiley database package, which is a journals package. We're going to have that be billed through EBSCO subscription services. So now I would have this Wiley thing, but now the billing is actually going to go through EBSCO subscription services, but only for that one thing. And the Anthrosource and the Life, whatever thingy, is still going to be with Wiley. And then we cancel the one thing, the life science thingy that I can never think of. And now let's just pretend that we didn't cancel it, but that it actually changed vendors and it's now with somebody else. So how would you kind of envision that then, as if I started out with this PO with three POLs and my PO initially was Wiley, but now I needed to have EBSCO kind of associated with the one for billing, but still Wiley as, the person we re or the entity we renew with and that we negotiate with, and but we pay EBSCO. And then this other thing, this life science thingy, that is now with somebody else.
So the life science thingy with somebody else, is that's the easiest one to answer. What we envision is that you would close that POL, and like just say it's done, and then you would create a new PO, a new POL with the new vendor. And this bottom question here, which we didn't get to, is how do we manage associations of a POL with a different PO? We are talking about adding functionality where you can manually associate POs and POL, like you can associate POLs or and POs. So you can say this package moved to a different vendor, or this title moved to a different vendor or whatever. So you're closing out the PO with the old vendor, then creating a new PO, but you want to track that relationship. So you'll be able to s just add a reference to the previous PO. That's how we would manage that part. the using EBSCO as the payment agent for another one is you would be able to create a related, a related organization of payment agent. And that would actually argue more on the POL side than the PO side. But you would create a related organization of payment agent, and then because invoices will be aware of related organizations, when you generate the invoice, you can switch from Wiley to EBSCOnet, and that'll just work, but it'll keep the PO intact.
Right. So I guess with that example, I was trying to get at that again. Like, I think I steered us wrong or something with my question about like, well, doesn't it have to happen at the vendor at the PO level when it would actually makes more sense, just like you're saying at the POL level.
I go back and forth. I also need to talk with the architecture teams about the back end case, about the back ends, but yeah, I can definitely, yeah. It might be the POL is actually the better way to go. I think it would give us more flexibility, but it would also be a little bit more work because then you'd have to add that information per POL rather than per PO. Or maybe we can figure out a way to simplify it. I don't know. Right now, this is just exploration of possible future enhancement.
An added benefit to having it at the POL would be that, I mean, one thing that we have been asking for a long, long time, I mean, this has come up as a on the implementers page for years, is that when you're at the P on the POL, it's like really like troublesome to find out who your vendor is because that information. You either have to like scroll down or you have to like scroll all over the place to actually figure that out. So maybe this will make it easier to figure it out.
That is a good thought. Okay, I've captured that. Is there any other feedback on this multiple organizations? If not, we're going to get to the hard stuff. Okay. So this says against previous fiscal years, but we're actually going to look at processing invoices against upcoming fiscal years. And that's actually kind of an uncomfortable way of phrasing it. What I'm more and more learning is that it seems that the actual ask is providing support for subscription terms that span multiple fiscal years. So it could be that you license a resource where the renewal date is out of sync with your institution's fiscal year. But it could also just as easily be that you are prepaying or that you're basically doing a 3 or 5 year prepaid contract because it's cheaper and you need to prorate all of that over multiple years because accounting principles require that you pay for a resource in the year in which that resource is used. So I'm working through partially what this actually means, and what we need to do with it. I know we've discussed this before. It is fairly complicated. And I'm trying to do it in a way that allows for the greatest potential flexibility, but also adheres to accounting standards. Because I know, so is it fair to assume that when you sign this agreement or a contract or whatever, you know what the breakdown is going to be across the life of the contract. So if you're on a July to June fiscal year and you do a January to December contract, you know you're going to be splitting it 50-50 across the two fiscal years.
Yes.
Yes, I would say that's true.
Okay. And if you do a 3 or 5 year prepayment, you know how that 3 or 5 year breakdown is going to look from the get-go.
Yes, generally we have it when we pay the first one or when we pay it initially.
Okay. So, in theory, because my initial mock has select all the fiscal years, but I'm starting to think, well, no, let's leave off the fiscal years because those have to exist in Folio. Would it be enough that we tell Folio how many years the agreement is and what the breakdown should be in each year? Like I know, oh, go ahead.
I would say that, like in year one, if you have something that is like if you have a fiscal year of July 1 to June 30, and
I think you just went m mute.
it says the host keeps muting me, so I don't know.
Sorry.
That's okay. I think in the first year you would only have like 6 months worth of that expense. And then going forward, it's like when you pay the invoice, you would be splitting the next invoice in half over the two fiscal years. So I see you've got it broken down by dollars. It might be better broken on a percentage basis. Oh, no, you've got it broken on percentages. But the problem is that, like, every time you renew it, every invoice you're going to be splitting it 50-50 in the current to the future. If you do a prepayment, I'm having a hard time visualizing that over like 3 and 5 years, because we don't have any of those that we're currently doing.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, if you're doing 50-50, then it would just be, it'd be a 50-50 split. But I do plan on keeping, where you assign the fund and the value, but you have the toggle between percentage and dollars, and we still do that same validation that we currently do. It's just that it would be we would also add in the ability to track over multiple years. So if you're doing like, because when I, in my previous job, we would do 3 or 5 year prepayments because they were significantly cheaper than year to year for some of our bigger packages. And so I don't know how our acquisitions librarian managed that at the time, but I know she had her way of, she had her methods of doing it. But it's all like literally paid up front. So for the next 3 to 5 years, it's all accounting housekeeping, as it were. Is that accurate?
Yes, I would say that's accurate.
I agree.
Yes.
It's what I'm doing right now.
Okay, so that's helpful to know. So if we are doing a prepayment that crosses a fiscal year rollover process, would it, and I realize we have to do a lot of checks and safeguards and stuff, but would it be a good thing or a bad thing if at the point of fiscal year rollover, a transaction were a payment transaction were created at the point of rollover that like as soon as the money is allocated, there's an immediate payment against that budget representing that money that had been paid previously but is assigned to the current FY.
Assuming that the invoice originally processed has all the information on it, that's what it's referencing.
Yeah,
Does that
we're thinking about the invoice logic as well, because we're going to have to figure out a way then to make invoices multiple FY aware, and that's a whole nother conversation that has Dennis and I. But I am hearing feedback from other sources that there is a desire to have all of the payments over all of the years connected with that initial invoice.
So, how do you, if we were looking at the fund right now, how would somebody see that you have a quote unquote prepayment against this fund for the next fiscal year?
That's the challenge.
Okay.
I'm
If.
struggling to know how you would do that without the future fiscal years existing.
Right. I
That's
mean,
the
unless you use like a prepayment bucket or something where, the future years go into this prepayment. I don't want to say expense class because it's going to go into this prepayment field until you expense it out and the prepayment is credited and the actual expense class, I would assume, would be charged when you process that invoice right after fiscal year rollover or during the process of fiscal year rollover.
Yeah, we're still kind of in early stages of figuring out how that's going to look. And there are a couple of ways that that could possibly work. One would be to, just create multiple fiscal years ahead, because, you can just extend that fiscal year sequence as long as you want. And then as long as you've got the fiscal year fund and budget, you can create encumbrances. So that's not a huge deal, provided those exist, but we don't want the whole system co to come crashing down if those don't exist. Another thing we can do is I'm considering adding a payment status of prepayment, which, or something similar, or multi-year payment, or some way of indicating that this is a multi-FY transaction that has been paid up front but will have pending payments over multiple FYs. And then I'm thinking there are things we can do in the Lists app that can identify those and determine what's upcoming, what are the outstanding balances, and so on and so forth. Because we've done work in the Lists app that will that should get us there with the Trillium release. This is not coming out in Trillium, but the Lists app infrastructure will be there to support that kind of reporting in Trillium. I don't know if that's 100% of the way of the distance we'd need to go, but I think it's at least an approach, so you're not completely in the dark.
So you process it as a prepayment even for the actual year expenditures, the first year being an actual expenditure, not a prepayment.
Right. So the order would be a prepayment type order, and the first year would be processed as per a normal invoice. But that toggle would basically trigger logic saying, queuing it up so that it would automatically trigger the next payment in line at the next fiscal year rollover until the number of years has expired.
So that payment method is on the PO, not on the invoice.
Correct.
Okay.
So what we would have to do is basically have, you'd have to figure out, can you, I think in practical terms, each payment would end up being an invoice line, but they would all reference the same vendor invoice. I don't know. That's something Dennis and I have to sit down and figure out architecturally how we're going to do that. And we're both thinking we may have to do the fiscal year, redo the fiscal year logic associated with invoices. But that's an us problem, not a you problem. Because we do
Until we need to
understand
understand
what?
Until we need to understand it.
And well, it's more we've heard the requirement that you will have a single invoice that spans multiple payments over multiple fiscal years. So you're getting a single invoice from the vendor and you're paying it, but you're splitting the payments across multiple fiscal years so that while the vendor side, from the vendor's perspective, the invoice has been paid.
Right.
From an internal accounting perspective, you need to keep charging against that invoice over time.
Correct.
So that's part of what we're dealing with.
Okay.
And I know that's a hard part to handle or to deal with.
There's a message in the chat from Kimberly.
It's like a tiny, tiny detail about just entry and just something to think through about keeping future fiscal years from day-to-day journal, like data entry.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, because people can select it erroneously for regular invoices at the same time. And you don't really want that to happen.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons that I'm looking for a way to do this in a way that does not require creating a whole bunch of fiscal years in advance. Because especially if you're doing paying year over year, there's definitely the possibility that you may say, you know, I want to pay the 2 years out of this budget and then the next 3 years out of this other budget. So I also have to account for that possibility. But I would also say that if you know that's happening, yeah, because the funds are spent the second rollover happens. You don't actually have those funds. They're gone. But they're gone from which budget? So we do want to allow you enough flexibility to make that change, but I'm thinking the preferred method would be to do that before fiscal year rollover rather than after. But am I also correct in assuming that it would be beneficial to process those prepayments immediately upon fiscal year rollover? Or would you rather that you do that? Would you rather do that manually?
I guess it makes it easier and it's done, as long as it's done for the right amount. You know, like I have one right now where the amount increases. So I'm assuming I would have to put that in the order information so that when the invoice is created at fiscal year rollover, after the funds are created, that it's processed for the correct amount for, say, FY 27.
Right. And my presumption is that you would know what that is going to be.
Right, and I do. Like I have a prepayment. Like say it was 20,000 this year, it's 21,20 next year, and it say it's 23,500 the following year. So I personally process this just in the general ledger system for the full payment and did manual entry for this year's payment, and I will do a manual entry for the next 2 years. So I understand what you're talking about, and yes, it would be done, and I wouldn't have to worry about it.
Right, that's what I'm going for. So you know that going in. And like I said, you can do percentage or you can do the very specific dollar amounts that you have. So
Right.
you can just do that. And so if we know that the rollover script knows where we're at in the cycle and just comes in and grabs this line and generates an invoice off this, or an invoice, yeah, an invoice line, invoice line off these, off this.
So, out of curiosity, what happens if for some reason we didn't allocate money to this fund for the next year?
So, it's a good question, and it depends on a couple of things. If the fund is inactive or closed for the upcoming year, then, well, I guess it would depend on how you do the rollover. So, if you allow expenditures, yeah, if you have no expenditure limit, so if you allow overexpending a budget, as long as the budget is not inactive, it would go through. But if the budget is not inactive, then it would throw an error.
Okay. And we don't allow over expenditures, so it would be an issue for us.
Right. So chances are, and this is something we'd have to work out, is what is the error? When does it get thrown? Does it prevent the entire rollover? I would presume that if we were going to do this, we would want to include it in the rollover tests just to make life easier so that you don't get stuck with this. But
Well, personally, I would hope that it wouldn't stop the fiscal year rollover because
okay.
a manual entry could be done in place of it. You know, if it's a true fund issue, that's one thing, but this is a nice to have piece,
Right,
in my
right.
opinion.
Okay. Yeah, there's just a lot that we have to think about.
Yes.
I mean, and these are really good questions because we all know that things are never simple and straightforward, and that there are always changes. So, and there's throwing an error and there's throwing an error. So you've got, well, there's throwing a warning, hey, we were not able to create this invoice. And then there's throwing a blocker error saying we were not able to complete rollover. And
Right.
so if this is a warning level that would come up in an error log saying, hey, this wasn't done, then you'd have to do it manually. I mean, I think that would be viable.
Right.
Deng Lan, I see you have your hand up as well.
Yeah, thank you. I would agree with everything that Anne has mentioned so far. So I think the key for us here is I need to make sure that amount is correct. So I would not want it to be automatically just approved turning into a expenditure. Because my workflow typically for this kind of prepay ahead of time, multiple fiscal year situation, similar to what Anne and others mentioned, I keep paperwork. So when the new fiscal year start, I manually create that expenditure for that correct fiscal year. But I tend to kind of want to wait for our accounts payable to turn. I mean, they call this called flip their prepay for the new fiscal year. They will flip it into when new fiscal year becomes valid. And then I typical my habits, I wait and I see they show up on our ledger. So I go in to pre-approve it just so I can match. In the event, if for some reason something should have appeared, but I don't see it, then I go ask them what happened to this one. So there's a, there's sometimes a discrepancy or a situation we need to troubleshoot. So I don't particularly if the proof of the invoice cannot be removed or deleted easily, then I don't want it to just automatically turn into something I cannot revert, or that would be my I guess request. Thank you.
And this could be something that we add to the rollover sheet where we could say automatically create and pay prepayment invoices or not. That could just simply be a checkbox, kind of in the same way that,
Yes, if it could be created pending, that's all good because they save me a trouble to create from scratch. But I just don't want it to be automatically turned into before I can do some kind of checking. So, yes.
Okay. Are there any other thoughts? I'm going to take one really big step back here from the broader, allow user to process invoices against upcoming fiscal years. Am I basically understanding the problem correctly? With the multi-fiscal year payments. I just want to verify that I'm not barking up the wrong tree. And I'm not seeing any comments, so I'm going to assume that's a yes. And the other question then is, am I missing anything big?
I don't know what you expect to get out of the Lists app, but in the idea of when you're going to roll over, if you have staff turnover, I know one thing, but if somebody replaces me, how are they going to know what is there? Is that part of what you expect to the information out of the Lists app? Or I mean, I would just hate to have somebody totally taken off guard because, there was staff turnover or something like that.
Yeah, so the Lists app, I so if we add the payment status of prepayment, the Lists app can find that.
Okay.
So basically, we could easily say, give me everything with a payment status of prepayment. And right there you have a list of everything that's got a multi FY. Or I could do instead of prepayment, I could call it multi FY.
Okay.
I just called it prepayment because you're doing a full upfront payment over multiple FYs.
Right.
But as we refine this further, we can have conversations about labels and names and what makes for the best user experience. But I absolutely intend to have some mechanism at the POL level indicating that this is a multi-FY transaction, where the money has already been committed, but we have to do the accounting housekeeping.
Well, not so much committed, but actually paid.
Right. Yeah. The money is spent, which is one of the reasons that why I wanted to attach this to fiscal year rollover is because the money is unavailable the minute the fiscal year goes live, but it needs to be tracked as a separate it's a separate transaction. It's not just a reduction in allocation, it's an actual transaction, and I want it tracked as a payment transaction. Julie, I see your comment. Yeah. Donglan, I see you have your hand up.
Sorry, I just want to add that we could have some electronic resources that is on that's on renewal year by year basis. But all of a sudden the vendor all of a sudden offer, hey, if you want to do 3 year renewal, we will give you 1% increase or 0% increase or whatever. So we take on that. So I wonder if you do it on the PO level to indicate this is a multi-year contract payment is would work in that instance because really sometimes situation changes. So not necessarily if this starts as multi-year, it's gonna continue as multi-year contract or something that is start as a single year by year will turn into multi-year when later on. So that's just something I want to point it out.
Now we, I mean, many or most of these are going to involve electronic resources. Yeah, I'd have to think about how that would work if you have a POL that's continually open and you're doing that. Do we want to? How would we manage that for continuity? This screen that I have right here, the ongoing order information, the prepayment term, which I might change to contract term or something like that with a starting fiscal year. I think that would capture most of it. And if we just say contract term of one, then, but do we need to do that?
Yeah, I would agree with Donglang so that we need to be like we have this too, like we'll go year to year to year and then suddenly we'll go, okay, yeah, this time we have the money, we'll do 3 years, and then the 3 years is up and we go back to 1 year. And so we need to have the flexibility to be able to switch back and forth in that way over time. So, you know, like if you had this, or I noticed that up above you had receipt status ongoing, and then it says prepayment in the payment section, right? In the yeah, there. That you know, I could then in the other like I did fiscal year 23, 24, 25, but then in fiscal year 26, we went back to just being single year payment. And so then I would want to go back to payment status as ongoing, I guess. Right. But I would want to capture that history that we had a 3 year contract. We did it as a 3 year thing, but then we reversed that and now are in a 1 year, a year to year thing again. I have tags for this personally. So, and lots of notes. So, but that's part of this too, is that you over time, you need this information too.
So would it make sense? I've got this ongoing order information, but would it maybe make sense to split this out for like multi-year or contract information where you set it up? So we're doing 3 years starting in this year. At the end of that time, it is historical. It's grayed out, and then you go to the next line, and we can just have a list of these historically somehow. This is a shot in the dark, but it seems to me that that might be what. So if you and if you want have a 1 year, the term would be 1 year and the fiscal year.
That would be great. And so then you could add also here starting FY and ending FY, right? For that specific one, and it would be really spelled out. And then if you had a single one, you would just go starting FY, ending Y, FY, and it would be the same.
I just wanted to ask a question alongside of this, and I apologize if you all already talked about this I had to step away. But if you are buying a subscription, like let's say your fiscal year is June to July, and you buy a subscription on a term of January to December. Are you running into the same problem? Like in
It
that
depends on your
situation, it's
institution. Every
right?
institution is different.
It's not
I
like a
personally don't have,
multi-year term.
no, I personally don't have this issue, but others I think do.
Our accounting office is just in the process of like catching on to that our subscription periods are crossing fiscal years. So I am in the midst of navigating this with our accounting department right now.
So they want to like accrue that expense in the appropriate fiscal year, or like a portion of it in
Yes.
each fiscal year, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Which is effectively the same problem as this. Like when you say prepayment, maybe it's a little bit different, but in that you're giving all the money, well, probably
The
in both
accountants.
scenarios, you're paying them all the money up front. And then you're just realizing that expense in the appropriate fiscal year.
That's correct. And the accountants would call it, they do. They say, well, that was a prepayment for next fiscal year, even if it's just 6 months of next fiscal year. That's exactly what they're calling it.
Kristen?
Yeah, I would just add, for a lot of subscriptions that are like journals, they tend to run on the calendar year. Fiscal years tend to start sometime in the summer or the fall. So like, but if we like, let's say we wanted to start a new database in April and we paid for that subscription in April, then we would say, okay, well, April, May, and June, that's this fiscal year. Then July through March, that's going to be next fiscal year. And we've been using the expense classes to try to track that. Scott's not here and he could talk more about what he's doing behind the scenes. I suggest that he watch this recording to see, but it's kind of like once it happens, it's done. And then you're separating things out. So I suppose like if you get a 3% increase, where that increase comes in, it's the transition that's a little particularly difficult.
Thanks, yeah. So it could be, I just wanted to, reiterate this once. Like it could be a single year term for an ongoing order that you end up needing to account for in more than one fiscal year. 'Cause like, let's assume you get that subscription, you're paying for 1 year at a time. But it straddles your fiscal year. So it's going to be ongoing. You're going to renew it. You're likely going to renew it a few times or whatever. But you're going to have essentially like a payment and a prepayment every time.
Yeah. Yes.
So in this situation, it'd be like, this is the prepayment term is like, is it 1 year or is it 1 or 2? I guess maybe some nuance to kind of think through is like, how is that represented here? It's not necessarily years.
Yeah, I think the
Or
most
maybe it is.
common scenario is going to be some of the payment applies to this fiscal year, some of the payment applies to next fiscal year.
Yeah.
There could be this unusual circumstance, I think, that Joe was talking about where you decide to pay for everything up front for a longer term to get more favorable rates, but that's not as common. I don't know right now that we have much of that going on.
I can say that general accepted accounting principles is what our college's accounts payable require. So basically, say an EBSCO renewal is January to December, but our fiscal year starts June 1st and May 31st, which is makes it more complicated. With 5 months, we charge for current fiscal year. That's the other 7 months. They still pay up front, but the other 7 months is gonna charge to the next fiscal year. That applies to everything, whether it's a
And
single year or multi-year or whatever.
Donglan, are you
Yes.
currently just creating two invoices, like one in
Yes, I
June for that?
currently, I mean, create the current invoice with the current year we are allowed to be put against current year fund. When new fiscal year starts, then you generate the new invoice for the other half that is supposed to go on the next fiscal year.
Right. So the order just shows a single amount, and you've kind of fully encumbered those, and you're rolling over the remaining encumbrance value, probably kind of like a, or
We
you're
don't,
not encumbering them at all.
yeah, we don't encumber continuation. So the encumbrance part,
Right.
that yeah, it's not concerned. It's just repayment.
Simplifies it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's just us. I'm sure everybody is different, but our accounts, our college financial service, they insist on this GAAP. They wanted us to follow.
Yeah. And I think Kristen was saying that this is the most common scenario, is that it's just like you're paying for a single year. Well, yeah, you're paying for a single year, but it straddles your fiscal year, so it's kind of like you are doing a prepayment in a sense. But it's actually just like straddling, it's the fiscal year straddling problem
Yeah, you're paying
that,
for a 12-month
yeah.
period of time, but some of those 12 months are not in the current fiscal year. Some of them are in the future fiscal year.
Right.
Yes, our accounts payable, they pay the whole invoice in full upfront. They just, charge the 5 months against current year, and then they flip. When the new fiscal year, that the other 7 months are charged into the new fiscal year, basically.
Yeah. So it only a portion of those come out of your budget for the year you're in,
Yes,
and the other
only a
portion comes out of
portion
the next year.
that happens to this, so the GAAP, General Accepted Accounting Principles, the goods or services should be charged to the physical year that they occur or they receive the service. So that's that.
Are
It
you,
used to be that way. It used to be we just send them an invoice and then they just process it a whole year. This started like maybe 10 years ago. There's a story behind it. I won't bore everybody about it. But ever since then, we just have to split those invoices, a lot of extra ones.
Yeah,
But
that
then that
yeah.
means that you actually end up having two payments for a single fiscal year. Am I correct then? Because then you would have to
Payment,
have
the payment
not payment, but
made
how
to
you're
the vendor
recording it
is one
against your.
payment, but in on the ledger, yes, it's split. But the actual payment itself
Yes,
should
but
be full.
you have to do the 5 months and then the 7 months and the 5 months and then the 7 months and the five and so forth, right?
Yes.
So that.
Oh, okay. They did give us a little bit leeway. If the invoice total is under $1,000, I don't have to split. Anything over $1,000, I have to split.
I guess I was just meaning that in. This would have implications that would make it slightly different than the other thing we had been previously kind of talking about with having multi-year agreements where you.
Yes, those are different. I mean, the GAAP thing is our college financial services requirement. Not most of school I know I heard they don't require this, which is good. But the multi-year electronic resource negotiated contract that if we pay up front, we commit multiple year, we get some kind of discount. That's why we committed. So, so that's definitely different from this. You need to split fiscal year because the subscription period need to match with our fiscal year. Basically, that's what they require. Yeah.
I'm just going to ask one more clarification. I know we're out of time. I apologize. People are probably dropping off here, but if when you're talking about these multi-year deals and you say that you're committing, maybe this has already been talked about too, but just want to be 100% clear. Is it in this case where you're signing a multi-year deal, are you paying upfront? Like, are you actually giving the vendor the money, or are you just saying we will give you the money each year and we're not allowed to cancel, basically,
Some
like
vendor
the contract.
insist you need to get, say you sign a 3 year, you get a deal. They would send you need to pay us upfront all 3 years. But some vendor just ask you, as long as you commit, you sign a contract, we will send you invoice year by year. So they
Year by
not
year.
everybody required, but they are. We have a two or three vendors. We even sign 10 year contract, so we pay them 10 years in upfront. Hopefully they don't go bankrupt. So, but yeah, but it really depends on the vendor.
Thanks. Yeah, that's good information to have as well. Okay.
Okay, so it's 2 minutes past. We will probably return to this discussion. And so thank you, and see you in 2 weeks.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks,
Bye.
Maria.